If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What is going on? You're listening to episode 205 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, player 2. Hey, Zero, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? What is up, NPC fam? It is your boy, Hate Zero, your hero.
It is your boy. There your you go. Boy. Guys, that music you just heard was from On Being Human. You can check them out on Spotify and YouTube. Remember, this is an unofficial Nintendo podcast. And if you'd like to get yourself a free book from Audible, go to audibletrial.com/NPC. Get something awesome like, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. The chair I'm sitting in is from OP Seat. Go to n64josh.com/OP Seat to automatically save $10 at checkout. And I have to let you guys know that Another Castle is now available not only on Kindle, but also as a paperback on Amazon. It is now available. I did it. It took me it took me a good chunk of the day, Monday and Friday, but I finally got it all formatted and figured out. I'll have a copy here tomorrow. And so I'm kind of excited to hold it in my hand, you know? It's and it's soon to be on Audible. I uploaded everything Friday and they sent back and said that the few things I had to fix. So I fixed all that today and resubmitted. They say 10 to 14 days and they had it back from, I did it on Friday and they contacted me today. So it doesn't seem to take them very long. So who knows, maybe by the end of the week, Another Castle will be up on Audible as well. Here's the thing. If you can actually read it, the book for free by going to like Kindle Unlimited. It's a part of that. It's a part of that. So on Amazon, search for Another Castle and put my name, my first name, Josh, at the end of the search. It'll be the top result for you that way. Otherwise, if you do just Another Castle, there's a lot of stuff that I, you know, that's not me, like romance novels and stuff, but pretty exciting. And speaking of exciting things, we're gonna get over to the announcements, because I got something else exciting for you guys.
Hey, listen,
the Mario Project is happening. Okay, what is the Mario Project, you might ask? Well, I'm so glad you asked.
What is the Mario Project?
So the Mario Project is going to be a series of books and audiobooks that we are going to be writing. And when I say we, I'm talking to every person that has my voice in their ears right now. Okay? That's what I mean by we. So if you go to n64josh.com slash the Mario Project, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. But essentially, I'm going to pick from the first 25 people that submit stories to me. And I have ideas for you on this post, like to describe where you live, to describe what you look like, to kind of just tell us a story that involves maybe you getting your NES for the first time, or your Super Nintendo, or your Game Boy, your 64, whatever it is, the first time you completed a game. It doesn't necessarily have to be Mario. It can be, of course, you know, but maybe it was Punch Out. Well, hey, Mario's the ref, right? Maybe you beat Mike Tyson, right? Or maybe you beat Glass Joe, you know,
probably like, not, but realistically.
And so I've already been getting a number of people submitting. Here's the thing. If you're number 26, do not lose heart. Okay. Captain Planet will be back right after. No, do not lose heart, because I plan on doing these throughout the year a number of times, so volume 2 could feature you. Okay, that doesn't mean wait, though, okay? Just because I've let you know that there's going to be a volume two, don't wait. Like, jump on this. Why am I doing this? Well, it's super exciting to me to know that I'm going to be holding a book that I wrote in my hands tomorrow. Okay, that's something I never ever thought I would be doing. Okay, and I want any of you guys that want to get involved with this, I want you guys to have that same opportunity to put your story in print so that you can have the book. You can show your friends and family, things like that. Like, this may be the catalyst that gets you started in writing. Maybe you never thought you could write or be a writer or anything like that. I never thought I would write anything ever. I know what my grades were in school. I know what my English grade was, right? Like, yeah, math was my strong point, and I didn't even hardly do any math. So I'm hoping that it may open up a creative outlet for some people, right? And just, you know, who knows what could happen with this, but so far the response has been very positive, and I'm pretty excited about this because I love hearing these stories. And that's one of the things that we hear all the time in feedback for the podcast is, like, you know, they love the nostalgia aspect of it and things like that. And so I want to double down on that and just have these stories of, you know, some of them are going to be similar. Some of them are going to be, you know, kids that got the Super Nintendo and the Game Boy for one Christmas and their parents weren't divorced, you know.
You know,
like,
who you are.
You know who you are, exactly. And so those are the main reasons for doing this. I think it'll be a great way for us to just kind of, you know, look back on the last, I mean, it's been over 30 years since Nintendo has been putting out systems and games, and we have a lot of good times. Maybe we got us through some hard times. Like, I want these stories to be as real as possible, you know? And so we don't have any clue how these stories may impact people, things like that. And that's really what this is about. So if you know about it, or you were thinking, like, you saw the post, but you're like, oh, it's not for me, or you automatically made an excuse, I really want to encourage you to get out of your comfort zone and write something up. Just write a terrible first draft, okay? And then send it to me, and I'll do what I can to help you, you know, get the second draft going. Right? Like, that's kind of the point. If you can take that first step to get that first draft, then, you know, that's like the hardest part. Once that's done, you just got to kind of, it's like drawing your picture and then you just start coloring it. Right. That's what it boils down to. So, yeah. So just write a crappy first draft and then we'll go from there. So the Mario Project, you want more details? Again, n64josh.com/the Mario Project. Another thing, calendar. Guys, n64josh.com/calendar. That's got my streaming schedule. All right. Community game nights, things like that. I do want to let you guys know I'm going on vacation. So I'm doing an interview show on Wednesday. So that will come out Wednesday night. I won't be doing anything Thursday because we're actually leaving Thursday. I will do something short and sweet while I'm gone so that there's still something in your feeds, but it's not going to be, I really try to use this time to kind of, like, fill up the reservoir, you know what I'm saying? And so
recharge batteries,
just got to kind of recharge, but there'll still be some IRL streams and things like that. So don't worry. There'll still be some content coming out, and probably a lot on the blog. I plan on doing a lot of writing. That's what I'm really, really looking forward to. So there you go. With that, we can talk about what we've been playing, some impressions here. So somebody described Super Blood Hockey, and I decided, I guess I should buy this. And
I don't know if you're excited about it or upset by your tone right now. So I'm as anxious as anyone listening.
No, I loved what I played. We're gonna do a first look tomorrow.
Nice.
I I haven't spent a ton of time with it. I've been playing Mario Kart and Steam World Quest. And So the little bit that I played, I was trying so hard to kill somebody and it didn't happen. It didn't even get anybody to convulse on the ice. I was like, wow, this was so timid. I must have picked the wrong team. I picked the pacifist team or something. So
maybe so.
So, but the short little bit of time I spent with it, it is super fun. Like it's really good. Really, really good. So have you been playing it more?
I played it a little bit more. I finished one full season. Because I'm doing the career mode, and the game is very goofy and fun, and you can, you know, kill people and people get stupid injuries, like a, you know, dislocated earlobe or something, right? You get weird injuries, right? Fun stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty fun little sports game. Like, the mechanics all work as you would expect them to. It's not necessarily easy, so it's a pretty solid game. I haven't played it against anybody, but I look forward to the opportunity to play with somebody to see how competitive or fun that could be.
Yeah, that's the you know, I hear that often, like, I wish it had online, right? But, you know, and who knows, maybe if it sells well enough, maybe they can hire some people to do all that netcode for them, you know. But
yeah,
that's a lot of work. So the other thing, like I said, I've been kind of just grinding on Steam World Quest. You know, the more I play that game, the more I like it. It's one of those games that you can kind of just chill out with, but the story kind of, you know, it sucks you in, and then the card mechanics and I'm only just kind of scratching the surface from my understanding, but I'm starting to learn about the decks a little bit better and building the decks and things like that. And it's pretty involved, but they do a good job of explaining as they go. It's just, I think for me, just being my first time with this style of game, I'll see something and I'll be like, oh yeah, I've got to do that. And then I'll forget. And then, so then I've been using the same cards for like three more acts. And I'm like, oh, you know, I have these new cards I need to try out, you know, but the system is interesting because, like, you have, I can't remember what they call it, but it's basically like mana, if you will. Right. Sure. And so, you know, if you play this card, you get one piece of mana and this card gets one piece. And then that, if you have that many pieces, then you can play this other card, but you couldn't play that card at the beginning. You had to, you know, you had to wait to build up for it, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, so you've got to be like, you have to be watching and looking at what cards you have. You can get two new cards each time you play. You can discard two cards, get two new cards, that kind of stuff. And so, so there's been some times that I'm like fighting a boss, and because of my hand, I can only use one like heal card, and that's it, you know. And when I discarded, I didn't get any better cards, but really, really, really enjoying it. And like I said, the art style has grown on me. I worried a little bit about kind of getting lost, possibly on like it, just in the world a little bit, but that wasn't the case at all. Like I know my track record with games like this, where I'll be like, oh, I just went this way. Like I'll do circles, you know? And I'm like, no, I haven't had that problem. I've been able to navigate around and get where I need to go. So, overall pretty pleased with that game. So, I would say it's definitely worth a purchase if you're looking for something, really a great handheld game. Not that it's not good docked, but it's just one of those games that, like, you know, if you're maybe putting on a movie or something that you're not super invested in, or maybe a TV show or something like that. Like, that's kind of what I've been doing. Like over the weekend, like my daughter's been like super hooked on Sims 4 on my Xbox down on the main TV. So, you know, I'd be down there with my Switch playing either Mario Kart or Steam World. And then, you know, my wife may be doing something on her phone or whatever. And we just kind of hung out that way. Steam World was a perfect game for that, because if you need to stop and have conversation, it's not like Mario Kart or something where it's like, I don't have a pause. You know what I'm saying? Like, You can just like you can that's one of the things I was enjoying about it. It was a pick up and play or put it away, you know. So
nice, very nice. So,
yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, well, hey, let's get on over to the news. Okay. So Devil May Cry coming to the Switch. How do you feel about this?
I was a fan of the series, although I didn't pick up the reboot or whatever that just came out for current consoles. But I did enjoy the series. From the announcement I saw, I couldn't tell if it's a direct port or if it's a HD remaster or what. Do you have any info on that?
I tried to look it up too, or try to get any, and it was like this, the tweet seemed to be all the info I could find. I can look real quick and see what Nintendo Life. Let's see. They're the first ones that are up on my thing here, but I'll take a quick look. You can keep chatting.
Yeah. So I loved the series, but I don't know if it's a direct port that I'm going to jump back in. And that's kind of how I feel with Resident Evil 4 coming to us soon. That's one of my favorite games of all time. But with it being just a port, man, I don't know if I can spend $30 on that again. I'm tempted, and who am I kidding? I'll probably end up doing it just because I love the game, but I'm probably not going to end up being very happy about it. Which is no surprise to anybody, but yeah, I think I'm torn on this. It is a fun series, and the first Devil May Cry was great.
So yeah, I'm not seeing it's pretty much the info we have is that tweet, right? And so, yeah, I don't see any more info other than, you know, the producer and the director talked about how they would love to see the series on the Switch, and you know, now Devil May Cry is going to be on the Switch. And so what this did get me thinking about is the ports and things like that. Yeah. And so that's going to be our talking point when we get through the news, because it's kind of been interesting. I've posted the question about, are we getting too many and things like that? And the results have been, they've been not really what I've expected. So, kind of cool. But so moving right along, I'm going to pull up a tweet here. This is from, let's see, this is from at, ZHugeEX. Okay. That's his Twitter handle here. And here's what he says. We'll start to see new game announcements and updates for already announced games starting from this week and through to E3. Some interesting projects to look forward to. So give you guys an idea. His little bio here says, I tweet about the video game industry, senior analysis for Nyko Partners, covering the digital games market in China and Southeast Asia. So from my understanding, I've seen this guy before. I've seen stuff that he has tweeted. I mean, looking right here, seven hours ago, multiple THQ Nordic ports for Switch have leaked on EB Games Canada, right? And so let's see, looks like Darksiders 2 is one of them. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff you can expect from this guy. He's been from my understanding, he's pretty good with what he tweets out. It's usually not he's not like one of your typical leakers, I don't believe. So and lo and behold, what do we get today? We get Devil May Cry coming to the Switch, Microsoft showcasing what looks like Minecraft AR with your mobile device, right? Puts Minecraft in the real world, basically. So So right off the bat, we're already seeing some announcements and things like that. So pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. I'm curious, you know, like, I've like, my gut feeling is that we are getting into a really exciting time when it comes to game announcements and things like that. Like, I have a feeling we're going to be kind of like, possibly like blown away by how much stuff is going to be not only coming to the Switch, but I'm excited for what Xbox is going to announce over the next few weeks in an E3, because last year was a kind of a big year for them as far as all the developers that they purchased,
you know. And you have to assume they're posturing to just hit the ground running with the new Xbox 2. I don't know what they're going to call it now. They've totally screwed up their branding. So
it's Xbox sad, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe. So, you know, they might announce something for the 2020 Xbox that allegedly is coming, the new next gen that people are rumored to have. So you think they're going to do something pretty cool. And I think we talked about it last year that we thought then that devs waited for the first year to decide, like, how's the Switch going to do before we make anything on the system, right? And so now through, you know, maybe next year, we should really start to reap the rewards of that time and start to see these games from the devs who waited a year to maybe port a game or create a game on the Switch because they wanted to see how it did because they were afraid from the Wii U. I know that was something we had talked about. Like, we think coming up, it's going to be good. I think that time is now, and I believe we're already starting to see it. You know, I'm really stoked this week for Saints Row. It's not the Grand Theft Auto I've been hoping for, but to have some sort of open world game that I can just waste time in and do stupid stuff. Like, I'm really excited about that. And that was a pipe dream a year ago. So I think we're in a really great time, and I can't wait. I mean, there's so many games. It's unreal.
Yeah. And it all falls into our talking point. So I'm going to continue on. And this last little bit of news is going to transition perfectly into this. And this is coming to us from Nintendo Life here. And it says that Nintendo's newsletter suggests that Cadence of Hyrule will be released this month. So it's looking like, and I'll just read what their letter says here. It says, as Link or Princess Zelda, players explore randomly generated overworld and dungeons on a quest to save Hyrule, and every beat of the 25 remix Legend of Zelda tunes is a chance to move, attack, defend, and more. From modern looking Lynels to Hyrulean soldiers of old, players must master the instinctive movements of each pixel art enemy and strategically outstep them in a rhythmic combat using an arsenal of iconic items from The Legend of Zelda, as well as spells and weapons from Crypt of Necromancer. So it's currently listed as spring 2019.
I only have a month and a half left.
Yeah.
So, I'm so excited for this game. I love all of the Zelda tunes remixes. Like, you know, my Spotify playlist is full of Zelda music, and you know, this is going to have all the music remixed, and it looks charming. I'm so excited for this.
I'm looking forward to it as well. And as far as the release date, it says a recent Nintendo Europe email promoting all the games coming to Switch this May includes Cadence of Hyrule in between maybe the upcoming Resident Evil and Assassin's Creed. So, you know,
maybe a direct or an indies, maybe.
Oh, who knows? We learned about this game back in March, right? I believe so. Yeah, at the Nindy Direct was where we found out about it. So
before we get to the talking point, can I complain about the fact that the Untitled Goose Game has not come out yet and nobody's talking about it? Just give me the Goose Game. That's all I want. I just want to run around as a goose and scare people and terrorize the world. Just give me Untitled Goose Game.
You know, yeah, let's put your foot down, man. Just put your foot down.
I just want it.
Exactly. You know, exactly. I know you're not alone. You're not alone. There's a There's a handful of people that do. So
I hope more than a handful, but you know, whatever.
Well, that I know personally anyway.
Okay.
There's definitely a handful. So, hey, let's move on over the talking points. Cause it's, again, it's all kind of ties together.
Here we go.
Okay. So I wrote, just a quick article. I want to start incorporating our talking points with you guys, the community, into the Monday night show that we're doing. And so this post came out a little bit later than I was hoping, but hey, better late than never. And so I posed the question, does the Switch have too many ports? Okay. Does it have too many ports? And so Devil May Cry kind of spawned this question in me, because it's like, man, we're going, like, you know, you'd kind of expect to see like Devil May Cry 3 or 4 or something, but like we're going all the way back. Right. And so, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe, Capcom seems to be mostly ports. I mean, I don't think they've put out anything new other than Mega Man 11 on the Switch that I can think of off the top of my head. And again, maybe somebody can correct me in chat, or you guys can tweet at me, but I believe that's, you know, that's
Yeah, I'm looking now at the list of games. I mean, Monster Hunter World was Capcom.
But that's not on Switch.
Oh, you're saying Switch. Okay, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. It's all been ports.
I think other than Mega Man 11, right? We've got all those Mega Man collections, you know, things like that, but nothing other than ports. And you know, they were early adopter for the Switch. You had Street Fighter, you know, the HD remix. So, you know, but again, it's like one of the things I put in this article is like a lot of, you can see based on what Nintendo has released, you know, Toad's Treasure Tracker, Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Mario Kart, Donkey Kong. Right. I mean, Mario Maker 2 is coming out, but I mean, it's not too far from a port. Splatoon 2 wasn't too far from a port. Smash is definitely an enhanced port, but it's, you know, I mean, it's still they're fairly similar games, right? Not entirely, but somewhat. So they had a plan of no third parties getting on board, is what it seemed like, right? They were like, okay, we're going to make sure that there's software coming out for the Switch, no matter what happens with third parties. Right. Now third parties are showing up, and and showing up big time. Square, right? Like Final Fantasy for days. So much Final Fantasy. And
all of them.
So,
yeah, they're all coming.
Right. And so, you know, and again, Capcom with a number of ports, Monster Hunter Generations, Devil May Cry, all the Mega Mans, Street Fighters, Dragon's Dogma, right? There's a handful of ports.
The Resident Evils are coming.
And they already have the first one, first and second. What is it? Resident Evil Revelations, right? Yeah. 1 and 2. That's on the Switch. So, you know, so they seem to be going the safe route, right? Because I think a handful of these developers are a little gun shy after what happened with the Wii U, because everybody says, oh, there's no third party games on the Wii U, and they're not wrong. But when the system launched, you had Mass Effect 3, you had Call of Duty, like there are a number of Deus Exes on there. You know, there are a number of games that did release on the Wii U. And so, but they got burned, right? Like they probably lost money on a lot of that stuff. And so they're definitely kind of, you can just see they're dipping the toe in the water. It's like I said, it's the low hanging fruit of these ports. And so I just posed the question, are there too many? And so I'm going to ask you, are there too many?
No, I don't think there's too many. I think where things start to get weird is Devil May Cry. If they don't do a port and polish of it, now you're just porting pretty early PS2 games. You know, that's where things are going to start getting weird. How far do we go? Do we go PS1 titles that are direct ports over? Like, do people really want to see that anymore? Maybe for really iconic titles. They did it with Final Fantasy VII, right? Really iconic title.
But that had a few enhancements. But again,
not a ton, but yeah, it did. And so that's kind of, oh man, that's kind of the question. But at the end of the day, you don't have to buy it. You know, just because it's not for you doesn't mean it shouldn't exist and it's not for somebody.
Right.
You know, Saints Row 3, I'll use that as an example. I didn't play it the first time and it's kind of scratching an itch that I have. So I'm excited for it. You may not be because you either don't like the genre or you thought the game was stupid or, you know, what have you. And that's okay. And I don't think when, let's say Capcom made a new killer app, let's say they made a new Dead Rising Switch exclusive, right? That's when I'm going to say everyone should go buy this game, show support, show love, so we get future games. But if a company is just throwing a port together, direct port, that's not one I think you should feel any obligation to buy if you don't want to. I mean, never buy anything you don't want to. But I will buy stuff to support developers and kind of show them, hey, you know, the Switch is a good place to invest. I don't think you have to do that with ports. I think they know we're maybe only going to hit a small target audience, but it's easy money, easy port. Easy win for everybody, right? That's kind of what I think they're doing with some of these.
Heads down in chat says, I think it's super cheap for companies to bring old games to the Switch. However, flood the market, clog up the Nintendo's terrible shop management, and now you can't even find the game.
So that's where I don't think the ports are bad. I think the eShop's bad. And it's not just ports. We're getting a ton of games, new indies, new Nintendo first party titles, new third party titles, and a ton of ports. They've got to do something. I mean, we've been complaining about this for a year or two now. They got to fix the eShop. It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. You
know, it needs some help. Needs some TLC. I don't think it's beyond repair. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff on there, but there needs to be better sorting. You know, the demo section needs to be better. Sometimes games with demos shows up all games with demos. Sometimes you can only search for the game itself that you found on Reddit has a demo. Like, how ridiculous is that? Like, that's a pretty easy thing to not mess up. So, right. So stop messing it up.
Yeah, heads down says, I find it easier to look for games on Steam than see if it's on Switch. You know, and that's unfortunate because unless you know the name of the game that you're searching for, you may have a hard time finding it. You know, you may not even find it if it's not in the top 30 in downloads or whatever or sales. Right. It may not be there. And so here's what's interesting, though, is Capcom. OK, I don't quite understand Capcom's hesitation with the Switch. Because Capcom had one of, I want to say, top 10 and for sure top 10. I don't have the stats in front of me.
Yeah.
Games sold on the 3DS in Monster Hunter. And I think there's three Monster Hunter games on there and all of them sold incredibly well. Right. Yeah. And so I don't know that it's necessarily, and I'm just guessing, I don't know that it's the lack of trust in the system or, and in some cases it may not even be that they're dipping their toes in the water. It's that they're waiting for the install base,
right,
so that they can then make their money back when they drop these killer games, you know, like, and so that may be really what we're seeing, but here's what I want to see a little bit more of. Nintendo, give Capcom some freedom with your IP here, just like you did with Hyrule Warriors and Fire Emblem Warriors, Starlink, and Mario plus Rabbids. I'm sure Capcom's got something that they could, they've got something there that could be a good crossover, or, you know, I don't know necessarily what that is, but I would like to see more of that. That's one of the things I put in the article. Is just like, I'm excited for E3. What are we going to see from Ubisoft? We got Mario plus Rabbids. We got Starlink. What's next? You know, what's the next, you know, be Assassin's Creed with Mario? Like
That would be interesting. That would bring me back to Assassin's Creed.
So that's dark.
Probably the only way they could do it.
Mario's just knifing people and stuff.
I think you would have to do that as one of the Bowser minions, right? Like you couldn't play that game as Mario. It'd ruin everything.
Yeah, plus he's so bad at being like, he probably could not sneak very well. He'd always just be like, hoo-hoo! You know, yeah. Like, oh, there he goes. Yeah.
So, but he's trying really hard. So
yeah, you know. He is. So
I think you were spot on, hit the nail on the head with they're probably looking at the install base, and you know, they're probably working on stuff for Switch now, or I would hope they are. But going into it, you know, how many 3DSs are there in the wild? I don't know the number, but it's a lot. And
say that again, the number of 3DSs.
Yeah,
it's up there. I don't know the exact. It's. I mean, let me look. But I want to say it's like 80.
Right.
80, like 80 or 90 million. But I'll check so we get the exact answer here.
So you know, they probably have their analytics going and say, okay, you know, this type of genre game only gets 20%. Of the install base, or 10%, you know, whatever it is. Well, 10% of 10 million at the time for Switch is not as substantial as 60 million for the, you know, 3DS or whatever the case is. And I'm sure the numbers change too for a home console versus a portable. I think the install base on the 3DS is, you know, more interested in JRPGs and things like that than maybe a home console user is. That's not always true. Don't at me. Don't be mad that I said that. I'm just saying a lot of home console users are first-person shooter fans, sports fans. There's definitely JRPG market. There's every market, right? But if you're only a sports fan, first-person shooter fan, you know, one of those game players, you're probably not very interested in most of what Capcom's bringing to the table. So you probably also don't own a 3DS.
As of December 31st, 74, almost 75 million units.
That's substantial.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a large install base, and that market's not being flooded with games. So you release something, you're probably going to sell.
I'm going to see if I can. The problem is I typed in the wrong thing here. I want to find sales numbers, because I'm positive that Monster Hunter is in top 10.
And that's the one they ported over to the Switch, right?
Generations Ultimate Generations. Is what they. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. That's what they brought over. So. Let's see here. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not seeing. It looks like top 10 here. So top 10, I was incorrect. I know it is in top 20. But yeah, the top 10, here we go. List of best selling here. It's not going to take me too long here. Number 12, Monster Hunter Generation. It's 4.3 million units sold. So
with an install base of, when did that game come out?
Just real quick, Monster Hunter 4 is the 13th at 4.2, and Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, and then Monster Hunter 4 at 4.1. It outsold Ocarina of Time on the 3DS. All three of them did.
Well, that's disappointing. But again, that was a port, right? So not everyone's interested in ports. So you're going to hit a smaller target audience. I mean, so you have to assume 4 million out of, you know, whenever those games released, maybe 50 million 3DSs, maybe 40 million. I don't know. But you're looking at a smaller percentage. So You look at the Switch, which had just recently exceeded 20. So maybe at the time of, you know, them making the decision to jump in, you know, we were only at 10 million. You're looking at less than a million sales potentially. So is that where you want to invest your money in? I think it would have benefited them if they had. I think anyone who went full steam ahead and just gambled on Switch, they made out okay. I mean, based on the limited data we have, it appears that way, right?
Yeah, I'm curious about, like, and especially like some of the M-rated titles, you know, Doom, Skyrim, Wolfenstein, you know, that kind of stuff. I do wonder how they're doing, but they're sticking with it. And then Doom Eternal's coming out, right? I mean, so we're seeing that they're continuing to support. And then here's the thing: you look at those games. I imagine some of those games weren't the easiest to port over to the Switch, right? And yet, here we are. So it's just it's interesting to see this far along that we're still, you know, only seeing some ports. But I think this E3 is going to be that year, kind of like you were saying, that it can be a really exciting time. And we, you know, what is Ubisoft going to bring to the table, right? Yeah. Like, what is this year's crossover title? Is there one? I hope so. You know, is somebody going to finally bring back like Diddy Kong Racing, right?
Yeah.
You know, like,
come on, Rare.
Or at least that team, whoever they are, get back together.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is the year we see Madden come to Switch. You know, I know it wouldn't be Bleeding Edge, but I think, you know, we saw FIFA a few times in a row. We've seen NBA 2K. I think people would kill for a Madden on Switch.
I'd buy Madden again. I haven't bought it in 2 years. I'd buy it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't bought a Madden in a ton of years.
You know what Madden I bought last year? 3DS Madden.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, you know, I understand them kind of being reserved initially because of how the Wii U went. Also, it's a hybrid system, so that's unprecedented. How's that going to exist in the market? Is it going to do well? Is it going to flop? Nobody's ever done it before, right? So I get it, but I don't think they're doing that anymore. I think they've seen it, and now they want to get on the gravy train, right? Like, the Switch is still selling like crazy. The other consoles are kind of on the downward slope. They're getting ready to launch their next consoles, which I don't think actually hurts the Switch at all, because it's not really competing with them. It doesn't have a direct competitor. You know, in a perfect world, you have your next gen bleeding edge system and you have your Switch to play before you go to bed or on the bus or in your Tesla when you should be paying attention to the road, but instead you're playing your Switch. You know, nothing else fills that market. So I don't think they have a competitor.
No, it's almost like mobile devices at that point, right? I mean, am I going to pick up my phone or am I going to play Tetris 99? You know what I what I mean? Am exactly. I gonna look at Twitter or play Tetris?
Yeah. Yeah. Twitter or Tetris. I just think the Switch is in such a great spot. Unless Sony or Microsoft come out with, you know, their next gen consoles, a hybrid. I think Nintendo is on the road for a while and they're going to be doing well.
Yeah, I agree. And so part of the reason for me putting this article up is that I've seen both sides, you know, both camps. Some people are like, no, everything on the Switch, right? How many times have we all said that? I want to see everything on the Switch. But then I've seen the camp that's like, hey, the Switch is nothing more than a port machine. There's not even, you know, there's hardly anything new on the thing. It's mostly just ports from older systems, you know. And I mean, there is somewhat of an argument there, but I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing just because that's the case, right? And so I want to get to the comment section here on this article. This is from Keyblader, and it says, bring on the ports. There are so many great games I would love to see on the Switch, and it would only add to my hope that the Switch can become the all-in-one console. Ports can also be the in-between when we are waiting for Animal Crossing Switch, Luigi's Mansion 3, Pokemon Sword and Shield, etc. So, again, there's somebody pro ports, right? Simple Monk says, no, I don't think we are getting too many ports. Keep them coming. There are a lot of last generation games I still want to see ported, like Fallout 3, which I'd love to play on the go.
Yeah, you know? There you go.
So there's another one. And then this is from Delmonic, says, yes, there's a lot of ports coming to the Switch, but I don't think that's a bad thing at all. If you don't want them or aren't interested in them, don't buy them. I think the ports are great. It helps diversify the library, and even though a good bulk of people have probably played them, there's still plenty of people who haven't. Not to mention, for some of these titles, this is the second shot at success. For myself, there are certain games I'd love to have on the Switch for the portability factor, and that alone is worth it to double dip on some of these. Hashtag port it to the Switch. So, you know. That's all been pretty positive. I did post this in a Facebook group, and the initial comments too were like, no, bring on the ports, bring it on, bring, you know. Yeah. And then it got a little crazy. They were like, and bring every GameCube game and every 64 game. It's like, whoa, let's
the dream.
Let's pump the brakes here. We got a little time still.
I don't think it hurts anything, you know, to see these ports. I'm still waiting for the Pikmin ports and, you know, Pikmin 4. It better be at E3. You know, I'm excited because I did get rid of my Wii U regrettably early. And so I missed out on a lot. You know, I want the Wind Waker HD port. I want, well, all of the Zelda HD ports that just came out, Twilight Princess and
get the 3DS ones too. Get Ocarina on there, get Majora's Mask. Let's go. Let's get them all.
So I'm down with that. I'm also very much down with other devs bringing their ports. Caveat, the only thing that I even am at all concerned with, don't bring me a port if that is at the cost of you developing new IP. If you can do it with a small team, limited resources, port everything. If that means we're not going to get the next killer IP, I don't think it's worth it. You know, that's where I would have to be cautious, but I don't believe that's the case. You know, you don't need a writer, you don't need motion capture, you don't need
to redo the score and
voice
all that
actors
stuff.
Again. Yeah. So I think you can do this while working on your next killer game for the Switch.
Yeah, and the few areas where I really think it would benefit, Metroid Prime Trilogy. That port would be amazing on the Switch because, especially after getting teased with 4, and now it's not showing up. I think the Final Fantasy stuff, I think it's great because it gives people either one, the chance to try it out for the first time, or two, it's, you know, that's where their nostalgia is. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like me with Mario or Mario Kart or anything like that. Like that's the nostalgia factor there. And that's very much the case with Final Fantasy. So, you know, double down on that. And but then still bring us something. Bring us something. Right. Bring us something. So
the nostalgia thing, like you mentioned, is totally real. You know, I will buy Ocarina of Times as many times as Nintendo is going to sell it to me. I will buy a Texas Instruments calculator if it comes preloaded with Ocarina of Time, right? Like I'm all about it.
Right.
So, And that's true for the Final Fantasies for people. Like you said, you know, that was the thing that got him into gaming, or that was the thing that got him into stories. Or some people have gone as far as to say that's what helped them learn to speak, read English, you know, because the dialogue and like, how cool is that? And to be able to have that with you wherever you go, you know, you want to play before bed, you're sick with the flu, like, you know, whatever the scenario is, you have that comfort in your hands. I think it's great. And then, you know, the flip side, I never played Final Fantasy 12. I have almost bought it a bunch of times now. I'm probably going to wait till it goes on sale. But because I've often heard it's the best in the series, I'm like, well, I should probably play this. And it just came to Switch. And so I keep looking at it and I'm like, these games have been going on sale pretty quickly. You know, maybe I can hold off a little bit. So I will pick that one up, though. That's definitely one I'm going to pick up. And otherwise, that would have been one I never played, never go back to play. Sure. You know, it just is what it is.
Yeah. And it feels, I mean, the other thing that I was kind of thinking about today and kind of comparing it to is like, is this the Hollywood scenario where it feels like they can't ever come up with anything new? And it's always just like, oh, look, we're going to see Mary Poppins again, or we're going to see, you know, whatever the case is. It's like a lot of times it's just a rehash of another, like, you know, Total Recall. Now we see another Total Recall, you know, and you're like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Was that necessary? And so, but I don't think that's the case. I think it's more of like, these are kind of some good business decisions. And I think at the same time, it's a little bit of fan service at the same time. And there's always going to be people that are just like, no, I hate everything and I can't have fun playing video games. I'm more happy when I'm angry, you know, then I don't know what to do for you there.
Then this is good for them too, because it has something to fuel their fire and they can be angry at something.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
You want to be outraged at something? Go ahead. Be my guest. You can be outraged at me. I either said something that did or didn't offend you, and that is or isn't offensive. So you know, go ahead. But so from the sounds of it, I believe your stance is pro, but what is your stance on the ports? Are you all in favor?
The only thing that I have reservations about is just like, I do wonder about the stability of the market, you know? And I also wonder about like, what is Nintendo having to do? Like, what is Nintendo possibly holding back that is leaving windows of opportunity for these third parties, because they want them to flourish? Because if they flourish, there's the, you know, I mean, how I would be willing to bet that Final Fantasy, one of these games, a handful of these games, were system movers for the Switch, because people were like, even, you know, even probably some like, you know, hardcore Sony fanboys, fangirls, that kind of stuff may have been like, I get Final Fantasy on the go. Let's do it. You know, I'm all for it. And so with that being the case, like, yeah, I'm cool with it. I do just wonder, like, is Nintendo, not that they're delaying stuff that we know about, but are they like, okay, we're going to leave these launch windows open, and then we're not getting, you know, a Mario Golf or something like that. But I mean, at the same time, Nintendo now has the luxury of, let's polish these games. Let's leave them in the oven. You know, I think Tennis Aces could have benefited from being
in the oven a little longer.
In the oven a little longer, you know. Yeah, Mario Party, definitely in the oven a little longer. And so now that's going to be the case. So,
and you know, is Sony doing that? Is Microsoft doing that, you think? I think at a certain point, you just release your games. The install base is large enough. You know, not everyone's interested in Mario. You know, not everyone's interested in Final Fantasy, whatever the case is. At a certain point, I think you stop caring about that and you release games when you want to, and everyone else releases games when they want to. You know, maybe you give a courtesy to the third party devs and say, hey, I'm releasing a new Zelda right here. if you want to avoid it, you can. Otherwise, you know, you can release your game there if you want.
Good luck, right? Yeah.
Right. And so do you think Sony or Microsoft are even concerned with that?
No, but I don't feel like, I don't follow either of those companies as well, but I don't know that they're seeing, in some cases, all three systems are getting the same games at the same time, right? Like L.A. Noire, the HD remake or whatever, you know, that came out on everything. But in some cases, I feel like, you know, did Xbox get all these Final Fantasies and PS4 get all the Final Fantasies that the Switch just got? Was that a thing that went through all the systems? Well,
maybe not all of them, but they did just get a bunch.
So, you know, so, I mean, in that case, then, you know, probably not. But we know Microsoft doesn't have anything coming out anyway. Right. And PlayStation is pretty few and far between at this point. You just had Days Gone, which is, you know, kind of hit or miss. But, you know, I could be completely off, and that's fine. Like, I could be completely off. That's all good. It's all good. But I think seeing third parties in any capacity is a good thing. At the end of the day, that's my final answer. It's a good thing seeing Square, seeing, you know, Mortal Kombat, seeing Ubisoft, seeing Cuphead, you know.
Yeah.
Just the amount of support the Switch is getting is good. It's a good thing. I understand.
Cuphead's a weird one because that's first party Microsoft coming over to Nintendo. Like, we've never seen anything like that before.
That was exclusive, right? I mean,
yeah, I guess they're second party, right?
We got to, well, but that was like exclusive to what, PC and Xbox. Minecraft was already on the Wii U, I believe, and then, you know, it continued on onto the Switch and things like that. But this seems, you know, the whole like buddy buddy Xbox and Nintendo, like E3 is gonna be crazy. It's
good to play together.
It is. So
it's good to play together.
All right. Should we wrap this thing up?
Let's do it.
All right. So where can people find you?
You can find me right here on Mondays, 8-ish p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You'll also find me Twitter, on Discord, Xbox, Switch, all #HateZero. So hit me up. That's all. Just hit me up.
He just wants to play Super Blood Hockey with somebody.
I wish I could. The game's so good. So good.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. All of the places is at N64Josh. You can follow this show at NPowerCast. The show notes for this episode will be available at N64Josh.com/NPC205. If you want to email the show, it's npc@n64josh.com. And if you'd like to get yourself a free book from Audible, go to audibletrial.com/npc. Pick up something awesome like Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, and hopefully soon Another Castle.
Yeah, pick up something awesome like Another Castle.
Hopefully. The chair I'm sitting in from OP Seat, go to n64josh.com/OP Seat to automatically save $10 at checkout. I do have a Patreon if you guys want to help support all the content that I create. You can go there and check out the different tiers. I do have a handful of t-shirts, quite a bit of merch, actually. If you go to n64josh.com/store, you can check out all of that. Of course, the Discord, n64josh.com/discord. Come hang out, come talk games, come play games, come join the Mario Kart tournament on Saturdays at 11. It's a good time. Also, the Facebook group, n64josh.com/Facebook group. And we got the subreddit as well, n64josh.com/r. I just want to say thanks, guys. If you're listening on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you listen to podcasts, thank you so much for listening. Really do appreciate it. If you're here with us live on Twitch, thank you so much. I know it's late for some of you guys, but we appreciate you being here with us. And if you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. All right. Thanks for watching. So, Eric, good good time hanging out, man. I like this. I like this. So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad we're able to do this again. We just had to get the timing worked out. I do want to let you guys know that Thursday show, I'm gonna start mixing things up. Like I said, I'm doing an interview this week. I think I'm gonna do away with the sales and the download. I'm gonna pick just a couple of games worth noting and talk about those briefly. So it's a little more concise, a little more to the point, and you know. And I'm also gonna start working on a like Josh recommends. Each week I'm going to try to get something going for indies and stuff like that. So thank you guys for watching. We'll see you in the next one. Bye now.